And now, Ben Bailey.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of Genesis is a book that is all about beginnings. Chapter 1 tells us that God created the whole world and all life and all that exists. Chapter 2, we have the beginning of marriage and the home. Sadly, in chapter 3, we have the beginning of sin. All throughout the book of Genesis, there are a number of beginnings that occur. But like Genesis is the book of beginnings for the Old Testament, so in the New Testament, there is also a book of beginnings. The book of Acts is a book of beginnings for the New Testament. No book is of greater value for finding out how one can be saved and for understanding the work of the church than the book of Acts. Someone has rightly referred to the book of Acts, and especially Acts chapter 2, as the hub of the Bible. Everything behind it is looking forward to it, and everything that goes on past it is predicated upon what happened in Acts chapter 2 in the preaching of the gospel. And so today we want to examine the beginnings that occur in the book of Acts. Some of these beginnings are found even in Acts chapter 11, where we learn of the genesis or the beginning of a new name. One of the greatest beginnings that we find in Scripture is where God's people are referred to as Christians. This occurs three times. The word Christian occurs three times in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says that if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. As Christians, we ought to glorify God in the wonderful name we've been given. Acts chapter 26 and verse 28, as Paul preaches the gospel to Agrippa, he is told, "Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." And probably one of the most well-known passages is found in Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. The Bible says, "And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so it was that for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. And listen, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." This is the beginning of a new group of people, those who were followers of Christ, those who had been prophesied about in the Old Testament. God said in the long ago that the Gentiles, when they saw His righteousness, God would call His people by a new name. When did the Gentiles see God's righteousness? We learn of the first Gentile conversion in Acts chapter 10. Peter takes the gospel to Cornelius, and toward the close of Acts chapter 10, they receive the Holy Spirit, they are baptized, and they become children of God. And as a result, Acts chapter 11 verse 26 says, they were called Christians first in Antioch. What name was it that they wore? The name Christian. The name that gave Christ the honor and the glory. Friends, this is such an important principle as it relates to wearing someone's name. What does it mean when you wear someone's name? Well, you're giving them the honor and the glory that they rightly deserve. Christians should wear the name of Christ because He is the only one who is worthy of our glory and our praise and our laud and all that we can give Him in this. And so as we think about wearing the name of Christ, we need to make sure that we give Him the glory in all that we do. So wearing someone's name means that you are joined to that person, like in a marriage where the wife will carry the last name of a husband. So today we have been married to Christ. Romans chapter 7 verses 1 through 4 teaches us that our relationship with Christ in the church is that like of a marriage. Galatians 3 verse 27 teaches us that we've become part of the body of Jesus Christ. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27 that we are the body of Christ and members individually one of another. You know, when you wear someone's name, it suggests that you want to be like that person. Children often carry the name of their favorite hero, whether it be Spider-Man or Superman or the Incredible Hulk. They might carry that name and want to be like that hero. Today, as we carry the name of Christ, it means that we want to emulate Him, that we want to be like Him in every way. The Scriptures teach us that we should follow Jesus. 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 teaches us that we ought to walk in the footsteps of the Savior. In Revelation chapter 14 verse 4, the redeemed of old are the ones who did follow the Lamb wherever He went. I'm reminded of a wonderful text in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, where as they realized that Peter and John spoke with great boldness, they then realized they had been with Jesus. You know, we often sing the song, "Oh, to be like Thee." Do we really mean that? When I wear the name Christian, that means that I am going to be like Christ. I'm going to give Him the honor and the glory, and in everything I do, I'm going to magnify and praise His name. It means that you are the follower of that person. Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15, "As for me and my house, we will follow the Lord." As we follow Christ and as we wear His name, we must walk in His footsteps, as 1 Peter 2 and verse 21 teaches us. To be a follower of someone means that you are going to follow their teaching. In John chapter 6, verses 66 through 68, Jesus had made some pretty difficult statements. Some of the disciples, we are told, walk with Him no more. He then turned to the rest of His followers and said, "Will you also go away?" And Peter responded by saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Does the name you wear say that you are a follower of Christ or some other person? If you wear a name of another man, whoever that may be, whether it's Martin Luther, whether it be John Calvin, whether it be some other Reformation leader, if you wear their name, who are you giving the honor and the glory to? It can't be Jesus, or you would just simply call yourself a Christian. To wear the name Christian means that you're trying to glorify the person whose name you wear. The Christian's duty is to give God the glory in everything. Remember 1 Peter 4 and verse 16? The Bible here teaches us that it is our duty to give Christ the glory. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:16 that if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this name. As I wear the name Christian, even if it means I suffer, everything I do should bring glory to my Savior. You see, this is my whole duty in life. For the Bible says in Isaiah 43 and verse 7, "Everyone who is called by God's name, they have been created for His glory." Paul made it clearer in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31, as to the realm of this when he said, "Whether you eat, or whether you drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And so a Christian has to ask himself, is everything that I'm doing in life bringing glory to God? Does my speech lift up the name of Jesus? Do my actions give Christ the glory? The way that I carry myself, is my nature bringing Christ the glory and the honor? Friend, we need to be sure that the only name we can ever wear and the name that gives us salvation is the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were asked, "By what name or by what authority, by what power have you done these things?" And Peter responded in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 by saying that Jesus is the only name in which we can find salvation, nor is there any other name under which we can be saved. We only follow Christ in His name and His teaching because He's the one who provides us with salvation. He is the foundation of the church today, and we must give Him the honor. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11, "There is no other foundation under men given among men by which we must be saved except the name of Jesus." He's the foundation of the church, and He's the only name we can follow. This would imply that we should not follow names or sects of men. The Pharisees, Sadducees, the Zealots, they were very famous for following the great leaders of their day. And many today have the same problem. They follow men in their teaching more than God. But the Scripture makes it clear that we should not carry the names of men. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13, Paul said, "Let there be no division among you." He says, "I've been heard, it's been reported to me that some of you are saying, 'I'm a follower of Cephas,' or 'I'm a follower of Apollos,' or 'I'm a follower of Paul,' or 'a follower of Christ.'" He says, "Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Friends, the point is clear that we must not follow the teaching of men. We must only follow Jesus and His plan of salvation for us today. There's another beginning in the book of Acts, and it is the beginning of gospel sermons. The idea here is gospel. The word gospel means good news. That we have hope, not condemnation like under the Old Testament, but that Christians can have hope today. Under the Old Testament, there weren't a lot of gospel sermons. In fact, there weren't any that brought real good news to the people. But we opened Acts chapter 2, and we learn about the first gospel sermon. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, the climax is found, where Peter clearly says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." This was the hope that Jesus was the Messiah. They had just crucified Him, yet they could be saved through His name. Peter makes four valid points in this sermon. He says that Jesus was approved by God in verse 22. That God has placed His sign of approval upon Him. And we know that throughout the Scriptures this is true. For in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 5, at the Mount of Transfiguration, there God's voice boomed down out of heaven, and He clearly said from the Scripture, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." We learn that Jesus was predetermined by God to be a sacrifice for our sins. 1 Peter 1 verse 19 says that He was predetermined or foreordained before the foundations of the world. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 10 teaches us that Jesus was set up as a sacrifice in the mind of God before time began. Peter said, or Titus did in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, that we're living in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. And so not only was He approved by God, not only did God place His stamp of approval on Jesus, but we know that Jesus was predetermined in the Scripture before time so that we could have the hope of going to heaven. Peter then makes the point of Jesus' death and resurrection, how that Jesus died and that He was resurrected from the grave, and how that in Acts chapter 2 this proves that He is the Son of God. Acts chapter 17 verses 30 and 31 says that Jesus or God had at times looked over or winked at man's sin, but now He commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through the man, Jesus Christ Himself. And so today we know that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He was resurrected for us. The question for you, my friend, is, are you a part of the body of Christ? Do you have the salvation that Jesus has provided for us? If not, you can do so today by becoming a New Testament Christian. It was not hard in the first century, nor is it hard today. People, they heard the message, like in Acts chapter 2. They put their faith, they believed in that message. They were willing to change their lives. They were cut to the heart and they wanted to make it right. They would confess Jesus as their Lord, and then they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins so that they could have the hope of eternal life, just like in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. And the wonderful thing is, if you'll do what they did, you can become what they were, simply a Christian and nothing more. The Bible makes it clear that to become a Christian, you must obey God in His plan of salvation. In Acts 22 and verse 16, Paul gives us a great example of how to do this. The Scriptures are said of Ananias' words to Paul. He said, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Today we want to encourage you to obey the gospel, to be baptized for the remission of your sins so that you can have the hope of going to heaven.